Hello, St. Georgians, near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, on day 203 of the year of the Bible, looking today at Isaiah, chapters 29, 30, and 31. We've got some of the, what we call the woes, not the W-H-O-A, but the W-O-E-S, the sort of woe oracles. Woe to David's city in chapter 29, to David, to Jerusalem. Now, what's the problem? What's the problem with Jerusalem? What's the problem with Judah here? The same problem that it's always been in the last few chapters, which is with the Assyrians coming down from the north, having already taken over the northern kingdom, Israel starts looking to Egypt to make an alliance so that they could be safe from Assyria. And the Lord says, no. You got away from Egypt. The whole point was getting away from Egypt. You don't need to be getting back together with Egypt right now. That's what he talks about. You have gone to the wrong place. You have gone to the wrong place to go seek your safety. We've written it down on a scroll, but you don't know how to read. They say if you hand it on a scroll, but you can't figure out how to open it. The people of Israel are treating, and this is imagery that comes up several times. The people of Israel are treating God as if he's not the potter and they the clay, right? The clay has no business saying to the potter, I know better than you. And yet that's exactly what Israel is doing. Woe in chapter 30 to the obstinate nation, which again is the same kind of thing. They are forming an alliance in chapter 30, but not by my spirit. They go down to Egypt without consulting me. They look for help to Egypt, who look for help to Pharaoh's protection. To Egypt's shade for refuge, but Pharaoh's protection will be to your shame. Egypt's shade will bring you to disgrace. Everyone will be put to shame because Egypt is not going to be able to protect them, not the way that the Lord will. In verse 15 of chapter 30, you get one of those great things. Look, this is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. Now, look, the Sovereign Lord. That's whenever you got a title like that, you know what they're doing. As you know, understand that God is sovereign over all the world. And here is what God is saying: in repentance and rest is your salvation, and quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. So what you don't need is to go figure out the best military alliance you can make. You can rest. But before you rest, you repent, right? You repent, you go to the Lord, and then you can rest. You could trust in the Lord and be quiet. Paul says somewhere about we should live lives of quietness and dignity, which I have always just found an absolutely wonderful, wonderful phrase there. In repentance and rest is your salvation. I think both of those things, together are sort of, they're like two wings of a plane, right? On the one hand, you have to have the repentance. You have to put your trust in the right place. And then the other side of the other wing is, and when you do that, you can rest. You can rest. Now, you can't rest without the repentance, because you can't rest when you're under threat from everybody and don't have anybody to help you out. But the Lord is going to be the helper of Israel, and he says it over and over again. But Israel says in chapter 30, no, we will flee on horses. Therefore, you will flee. We will ride off on swift horses. No, it's not going to work. And in verse 17, he says, 1,000 will flee. That means 1,000 Israelites will flee at the threat of one. That is one Assyrian or Egyptian. At the threat of five, you will all flee away. So you are left like a flagstaff on a mountaintop. this is an inverse of what is said in Leviticus. In Leviticus, God speaks to Israel and says, I'm going to make you so strong that just one of you is going to scare off five different, you know, Canaanites, and five of you are going to scare out all the Canaanites. Here the opposite is being saying. Actually, one Assyrian is going to make you run away, and so forth. So you can see how those things have flipped. But as always, there is a note of mercy and of deliverance promised if the people return to the Lord. So in verse 19, people of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. But he has to hear, right? He has to hear the people cry out. When they cry out, he will answer. It's not like, and as soon as you cry out, he will give consideration to your request. No, right away he will respond, which is lovely. The Lord longs to be gracious to you. And therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion. This is verse 18, chapter 30, verse 18. The Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion. The word show you compassion there, somewhere else, I think it's, I can't remember what it is, but is maternal imagery. So it's the Hebrew word is the same as the Hebrew word for womb there. And that's how the Lord wants to treat Israel. That's how the Lord wants to hold on to Israel, to embrace Israel. And it's not like he's willing to do it, but rather the Lord longs to do it. Longs to embrace Israel in that way. He will rise up to show you that compassion. I say, like, he won't just sit there and be like, you know, whatever, but rather he'll stand on his tiptoes in order to show you compassion if that's what he needs to do. So there you go. And in the middle part of chapter 30, you hear more of this of how wonderful life with God could be. He talks about the natural world. He will send you rain for the seed, the food will be plentiful, your cattle will graze, and so forth. It's gonna be fantastic. But chapter 31, woe to those who rely on Egypt. So again, I think this is the fifth of the woe oracles. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help. Chapter 31 sort of replicates chapter 30, but a little bit shorter. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, who rely on horses, who trust in the chariots and the horsemen, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or seek help from the Lord. And this is a theme that we have seen in this year of the Bible from the beginning, basically. I mean, certainly during, you know, all through Exodus and Joshua and so forth. Don't worry about the chariots. Don't worry about the horses. Worry about your relationship with God, right? Don't store up chariots. Don't, like, remember, like, one of Solomon's big sins was going and buying a whole bunch of chariots and horses from Egypt, going back to Egypt to buy chariots. You don't worry about chariots, right? That's what God says. You don't worry about chariots. You've got God on your side, and if God is for us, who can be against us? So there we go. We will continue in 32. We're getting towards the pivot point in chapter 39, but that's coming soon enough. So I'll leave it there. I'll leave it there for today. All right, let us pray. O God, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, well, amen. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Talk to you tomorrow.